Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, May 6th, 2019. I hope all of you had a wonderful Star Wars day. I hope everyone survived. May the 4th be with you and made it through Revenge of the 5th. I'm glad to have all of you here today with my two guests with me today. I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Thank you for having me on this auspicious day for Britain. We have a new royal. I look forward to all Mac Observer readers and listeners sending me the appropriate accolades and thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Royal Edition, where we are going to talk about lines of succession. We're going to talk about how many middle names this kid's going to have, how this is the success of America's long plan to end up with an American in line for the British throne. All that and more.
And we're going Royal Observations, we're calling it.
Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Andrew is joining us by phone today. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, yeah, so it's not a great Monday for me so far.
Yeah, normally Andrew's here to wish us happy Monday, but his has not been very happy. And on that note, I look forward to reading your troubleshooting tips piece about what happens when your laptop decides it doesn't have audio, functional audio anymore. I think that's going to be fun. So the first thing we do want to talk about today actually is something EU related, with which Charlotte only sort of has a tenuous relationship right now. And that is an investigation. Well, that's a good description, right?
We're still in it. We're still in it.
Yeah, but it's tenuous. It's not a great relationship right now.
Let's not go there.
But the EU is investigating Spotify.
Right.
And Charlotte, walk us through what's happening with that exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Ange took a jump in on this story, but it's an interesting one because we've discussed previously, and both Andrew and I have written stories on how Spotify has made a complaint to the EU against Apple, claiming basically that it abused its power via the App Store. Mm-hmm. And also because, you know, their argument is basically it's got the App Store and it's basically pushing people towards Apple Music.
Okay.
That is the long and short of it. As I say, Andrew and I have both written stories, which you can read on the Mac Observer, that kind of outline that in a bit more detail.
Yes.
And we weren't quite sure whether the EU were going to take this up or not. And today, as Andrew's written, they have. And it looks like EU commissioners, who are the unelected people, that's the slightly different body from the politicians, mm-hmm. but it's all part of the same organisation. They are now investigating it as an anti-competition.
Okay.
That's the context this is being looked at in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, Spotify isn't happy that Apple owns the platform and plays on that platform.
Right.
This is something
exactly.
that Elizabeth Warren, she's been talking about. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. This is not only taking place in Europe. It seems to be part of your presidential campaign as well. But yeah, that's exactly it. Spotify says that by owning the platform and having its service, Apple has an unfair advantage. Which is, there's arguably me, it has a case there. Like, look, we don't want to prejudice or kind of hint at what regulators should be saying. But there is an argument, right, that says if you charge $9.99 for Apple Music mm-hmm. and $9.99 for Spotify, mm-hmm. but you take some of the $9.99 that Spotify take, your Apple is at an advantage, right?
Right. Because Apple makes $9.99 off of that month of subscription and for Apple Music. And Apple also makes, I'm bad at math, 30% of that $9.99 that Spotify
right.
gets. So Apple makes 100% of the money on Apple's subscription, and Spotify only makes 70% of their subscription.
So on the two subscriptions, it makes 130% or whatever.
Yes. And one
from 200% of subscriptions, it makes 130.
Yes. And one of the things that I've heard people say a number of times throughout the years as different issues in the App Store itself have come up, it's never been trying to compete with Apple in the App Store, but in other ways, is that Apple doesn't really need to take 30% of that anymore, especially now that subscriptions are more common and more prevalent, and that a lot of people want to be able to offer those in the App Store. And yes, on the subscriptions, I know that the model has changed and that subsequent years of subscription, Apple gets a smaller cut.
Right. I was going to say it's 30% for the first year, isn't it?
Right. And I think it's 10 or 15 for
15, I think,
for the rest of the time. So that means Apple made slightly, that means that the Zombies Run folks made slightly more money on my Zombies Run subscription, which just came up a little while ago. But overall, that Apple doesn't need 30% anymore, that if Apple scaled back to 25, how much more money would go to developers, how much more money would be in the ecosystem, how great Apple would look for taking a smaller cut, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the other investigations that now I think I sort of unhappily agree with Spotify, and it's not because they're complaining about Apple. It's because they've sort of gone about this by just thinking that if they whine loud enough, that they'll get some attention for this. I do think it's legit. I just don't like how they've gone about it so far.
So their argument basically that is to get the same amount as Apple, to make $9.99 per subscription, they have to charge whatever it is, $12.99, say.
Right. Yes, to get the same $10 a month that Apple gets. Right, and that makes sense, and I agree with that.
Particularly in the first year. And they're right.
Yes.
And their argument extends that because they have to charge more, therefore their offering is less appealing, and therefore Apple is at an unfair advantage.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. I mean, I agree with Charlotte that it's worth looking into, but Apple versus Spotify is such a weird thing because Apple is only paid. Spotify has a free tier, which has, I think, 100 million users worldwide.
Mm-hmm. It's huge,
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess my question is, are they truly competing with Spotify or not?
So their paid tiers clearly are a direct competitor, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But they also have an offering that doesn't give Apple any money.
Sure.
That still generates revenue for Spotify in some way. I have a free Spotify account, and my free Spotify account is ad supported. So they play ads. If I'm using Spotify and listening to something on Spotify, then I'm getting advertisements. And so Spotify is making money off of that subscription. I would assume it's, you know, in some way by being able to put those ads in that stream. So
There's also another point I want to make here, and I think I've made before on the show. Spotify also has different ways of getting customers. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my cell provider, I don't pay for Spotify. It is part of my package with my cell provider. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Apple doesn't have that as well. Right. So we're not I don't know if it's right to say that Apple could claim that's an unfair advantage for Spotify, but in my particular case, it certainly influences my decision to have Spotify, not Apple Music, for example.
Right.
So I think I think we can't dismiss Spotify's argument out of hand.
Right.
But I think also, and I get why they're complaining. But I also think it's a slightly more complicated issue than perhaps Spotify would like to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think about whenever I read any sort of news about Spotify anymore is that they are one of the streaming companies, and Apple is not part of this organization, that's leading the charge to pay less money to artists for those streams. And so that I always have that filed in the back of my mind whenever I read anything about Spotify, that one of the things they're trying to do is restructure it so that they can pay an even smaller fraction of a cent to the people who made the music that they are streaming in order to make any money. And so I find that. So fair or not, I always feel like Spotify goes into anything with a strike against it because it's still trying to get less, it's trying to pay less money to the people who are responsible for them having a business model, and I find that kind of frustrating. So
sure, although that doesn't actually have, it's not directly connected to the issue we're raising.
Oh no, not at all.
I understand your point.
It's just a thing that they're doing, and it's one of those things like, this is always what I think about when I think about Spotify, is that they're one of the companies trying to do this. So, and Apple is not. Apple's happy. I believe Apple's arrangement is actually more money. It's like a separate arrangement than what these other companies have. So,
yeah. And Android, about that.
Yeah.
And Andrew and I were very excited to find that Tool are coming to both Spotify and Apple Music.
That's very exciting to me as well.
Yes. So yes. We were pleased about that. Look, it's also worth noting, I think, that the EU has looked into Apple before. Mm-hmm. It's both found against Apple when it asked it to pay 13 billion euros of back taxes. Mm-hmm. But it did approve its deal with Shazam.
Right.
So... there's no quite telling how the EU is going to respond to this complaint.
Right. But it will be interesting to see what they discover. And I think that that's going to be interesting across all of Apple's business, because if it turns out, you know, that this subscription is problematic in some way, then there are going to be other companies that are going to have similar complaints. And how is that going to change how subscriptions work in the App Store?
Yeah, I was just thinking about this, because why is this not also being applied to Google, who has a music service?
Mm-hmm.
I don't use Google Music, but it's a slightly different. Is it a slightly different approach than Apple Music?
Not to my knowledge. I think it's the same sort of thing. Yeah,
subscription, right? So what's, and it's, you know, the Play Store, Google owned the platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting
I was just going to say, plus, you could argue that Google would be in more of a position for this because Android has way more users than Apple. Apple is worldwide. Is Apple a monopoly? Probably not.
Right.
And also, I mean, and it's certainly an issue for Spotify. Android is certainly more popular in the new and developing economies that Spotify is really desperate to get into.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just a question I throw out. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and I don't either. But I feel like it's a question to be asked, because this is the same sort of thing that I ask all the time. Would this be a story if Apple weren't one of the companies involved? Right. And it seems like it would be, even though, because I don't know the ins and outs of what subscriptions look like on Google Music. So if you know, please let us know. If you are or know an Android user, and we won't judge you, but let us know what the subscription situation looks like over there. I don't even know if Google Music has a free tier. And if it does, maybe that's why they're not part of this complaint. But if it doesn't, then it seems like this same thing would hold up against them as well. So maybe it just wouldn't get as much attention. And so that's why
just
we're
had a quick look. You can have 30 days for free on Google Music, and then it's $9.99 a month.
Okay. So it's exactly the same, it looks like. So unless there's something about subscriptions that we don't know on the Google side, then this seems like the same complaint should be applied there as well.
And you can play music offline on Google Music.
Mm-hmm. We will find out more, and as we discover it, we will let you know. But right now, one of the other things we wanted to talk about is an interesting topic that came up because Andrew made a comment. Andrew, go ahead and tell us what you were... what you were wrestling with.
Tell us why you're wrong, Andrew.
It's just a thought I had that sometimes I think about being an Apple blogger, because this morning we've got this big round of iOS 13. They're calling it a leak from Bloomberg. And I just have this thought sometimes that, you know, I like covering this as a blogger, but at the same time, I kind of... like, think of it as these are spoilers and I want to save the surprise.
Yeah. And Charlotte.
Okay. I can't. the whole reason for journalism, for what we do at the Mac Observer, is to tell people, our lovely readers and listeners, stuff they might not know. And presumably that's why they kindly come every day, read our stories, share our stories, join in the conversations with us.
Mm-hmm.
And not altruistically, selfishly, actually, the biggest thrill for journalists, and I can tell you this from personal experience, the biggest thrill is to get a scoop and to get information that you do not, that no one else knows. Mm-hmm. There's no better feeling in the world. And you know, we have the privilege of covering the one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting companies in the world, the one of the biggest companies in the world. And to have, it's, I think it's quite a responsibility actually to find out things that others do not, and to find it out ahead of time and to provide people with that information. And I know that sounds slightly elitist and snobby, but I feel quite strongly that is what journalism is kind of all about.
It is.
And so I understand that there is a thrill of the one, you know, one more thing moment and mm-hmm. not knowing what's going to happen. But, you know, we're not watching a TV show where we don't want spoilers. We're here to provide the spoilers.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference, I think, between, and Andrew, I've sat in the same place, and part of why I was never a big fan of the rumor stuff is because it's because I've been at this a long time and the sources didn't used to be as reliable. And so sometimes the information that we got was completely ludicrous at best, right? And so when sources were less reliable and there were lots more of them out there that were all trying to, you know, take credit for something, like the next iPod is going to be this, and did you hear Apple's going to make a phone, and you know, on and on and on. And part of that is just that, like, I stopped having patience for it because we were never going to know anything. So it was really like wading into the rumors and the speculation and all of that just got frustrating. And
totally agree.
There was never a really good, and you know, Apple's not and never has been a company that's going to telegraph a punch. So, I mean, we hear so much more out of them now in official channels than we ever used to. And I know that that's going to sound crazy to people who haven't been at this for a long time, but there's so much more information now from the CEO. There's so many more press releases about different things. All of that stuff works like it should. And for the most part, right? Like, we get more official information from official sources than we used to.
And that's fine. But there's also a responsibility, I think, for all of us covering Apple to speak to people and find out stuff to find it out when they don't want us to know it.
Right.
That's kind of what we're here for.
Right. Like the story we just talked about, where it seems like Apple may not be in the right.
It's not even about who's right and wrong. It's about understanding what's actually going on in this very powerful, important company. And look, there's plenty of times where Andrew has seen rumor stories and so rightly poured cold water on them and said, this just doesn't make any sense, because he understands the company and he knows about the company. And he's done his research and he knows what's nonsense. And that's a really important role.
Yeah, it's, and I think part of that also, like,
and that's why Andrew is good and why so many people who profess to be in the know just talk rubbish.
Yeah. There is definitely an art to looking at something like that and going pass, you know, as opposed to yes, let's report this and then pull it down later. And you know, that I think sometimes gets frustrating. Like, Andrew, what do you generally, like, when you're looking at rumors and stuff, like, what makes you decide to pass on something?
I mean, I feel like we're kind of unique at the MagObserver. Well, maybe not so unique, but just, we don't really report on many rumors anyway.
Right.
Like,
you mean we prefer real information?
Yeah. And when I'm looking at these things, I've reported things from 9to5 Mac, because Gamer, Rainbow, and those crew, they find stuff in the source code. So to me, that seems a little bit more real.
Right. That's as legit as it can be, really. Yeah.
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 But with this Bloomberg thing, I'm not sure if they did that or not. So I'm choosing to pass on it.
Yeah. And for the record, Bloomberg doesn't have the greatest track, the greatest history right now with reporting on Apple stuff.
There's a lot right. going on so, there, isn't there?
Yeah, there kind of is, which is why when I heard this was Bloomberg, again, you know, like with the Spotify thing, like always in the back of my mind is this is a thing that Spotify is doing, and always in the back of my mind when it's Bloomberg that reports it is like, this is a thing that Bloomberg did, and we never really got to the bottom of what happened there. So
exactly.
So I always kind of wonder, and that is one thing that is that I think is special about Mac Observer is that we are very much interested in right over first, and
right.
that's absolutely an ethos we can all get behind. And you know, that's not to say it's not fun to speculate. You know, the next phone is going to be USB-C, or they're going to finally stop making them thinner, or the next watch is going to have a built-in glucose meter, or you know, whatever. Like, it's kind of fun to discuss those things and think about what they would be, but we're not talking about it as any sort of hard news. We're talking about it as, you know, wouldn't it be great? And that's a very different thing than like rumor mongering. So yes, Charlotte.
No, I was just gonna say, I think that we're, you know, we don't do this to be cheerleaders either. We do it because like the point of journalism is not to be cheerleaders. It is to find out information and display it in an accessible way. And I think that although, yes, you do sometimes miss out on the thrill of being a fan, there are other advantages and other also. And that those comes with, not to sound again too pious, but they come with responsibilities as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the great things about it is getting to be a fan with other people who are also fans, but tend to take a more balanced approach when it comes to talking about Apple. So one of my favorite things about doing this is that I get to hang out with people like the two of you.
Yay.
Even though Andrew's apparently at the bottom of a well right now. It's okay.
It should be said that I think Charlotte like has a legitimate journalism degree, don't you?
I don't have a my degree is in music technology actually, which is why I always love it when we get to talk about audio stuff. But I've worked on newspapers and things here in the UK.
Yes, but yes, yeah. Charlotte has more real journalist mileage than some of us do, which is fine.
Yes.
So yes, that's where that comes from.
You see, again, I'm not sure I totally. That's not quite right in the sense that, okay, so yes, I've worked on a traditional newspaper.
You worked for an actual newspaper. Yes.
Yeah, I've done traditional newspaper journalism, which is great.
And, yes.
But, you know, presenting information, finding out information, getting the stuff in that Andrew and I do day in, day out, that is as much journalism as anything else.
Yes, it is.
And deciding, we were
talking about actual journalism. Like, as much as we all love Mac Observer, it's not an actual newspaper. That's all I'm saying. So that's it.
Yeah, but like I'm always careful to call myself a blogger, not a journalist, because I don't have a degree.
Oh, well, that is a whole different conversation.
Yes, Charlotte and Andrew are going to go have a conversation now. If I'm lucky, I'll get to record it for another episode of DDO. But for now, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Give us your thoughts on rumor mongering. Do you wish we did more? Would you rather just have all the facts the way that we're doing things now? We always want to hear your feedback, and you can do that by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave a comment in the show notes. In the meantime, I would like to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thanks for coming to join me.
Thanks so much for having me, and thank you for doing a royal special of Daily Observations.
And I can't wait till tomorrow when we get into things like Succession. It's going to be super great.
It's going to be amazing.
Andrew, thanks for coming by today and joining us from your remote recording gig, your remote setup.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully it didn't sound too bad. And I disappeared for a little bit because I got a nice robocall. So thanks.
Yeah, he did fall off for a few minutes. I can't repeat the text he sent me, but yeah. Also, like I said, I look forward to Andrew's troubleshooting tips once he figures out what happened to his laptop. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.